Israel's, and the glory of your people Israel. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Even as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought him the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard of him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, O Master, let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For mine own eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people, Israel." Now the child's father and mother were amazed at what was said of him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the rise and the fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that shall be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow till she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and with prayer. And coming at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Have a seat. Today's feast is historically known as Candlemas. The mus there is like the mus at the end of Christmas, right? So that M-A-S used to have a second S attached to it. It's Christ Mass, the Candle Mass, because this is the day of the year when we bless all the new candles for the whole year, save the Easter candle, which is blessed at Easter. This is also why tomorrow, when we celebrate the Feast of St. Blaise, we use candles for the blessing of the throats, because they're theoretically brand new candles, though as you can see, ours have kind of warped over the years. It's fitting that we have Christmas and Candlemas. Mary's feast used to be known as Ladymas, St. Michael's, Michaelmas, and so on. And so on some level, if what we do today takes, if this all actually works the way we hope, someday this will be known as Ralphmas and Belmas. This will be a day on which we hallow and consecrate and remember the two who this day finally became one. One as they have longed to for so very, very long. I was at St. Teresa earlier today. They wanted an alumnus, I guess, to come back and talk. And one of the things I said to the children was this: the most important thing you say all day may well be the prayers you say right before you go to bed. I know at first they thought I was crazy, which was, of course, kind of the point. But hear me out here. The most important words we say of the day are very likely the prayers we say just before we go to bed. And here's the reason I think that. We human beings are creatures of habit. Most of what we do on autopilot. Think of your own kind of morning routine. You get up, you wash your face, brush your teeth, you shower, shave or shower, brush teeth. right? But we all have an order, and if the order gets interrupted because somebody comes to the door or one of the kids needs something or something's off, we're kind of discombobulated until we're done with the routine, right? The reason for rote prayers, the reason for memorized, consistent prayers day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, is because we want those prayers to serve as the habit or pattern of a lifetime. Now, on some level, it doesn't matter which ones you pick. My family growing up, it was always an Our Father, a Hail Mary, a Glory Be. Then we'd say, you know, the angel of God, my guardian dear, and then it was just, and God bless mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and so on and so on and so on, until you got annoying because you were talking about pets or fish or something. But the reason that was important was because I have clear memories as a boy, even younger than these ones, of my dad having to work late shifts, and so us being put to bed before he'd get home. And I'd wake up at night and see my dad kneeling at the foot of the bed, saying our bedtime prayers with us, even though we were already asleep. And I think that's probably why I'm a priest, not because I think Dad was praying for a priest, but because that habit of prayer got so knocked in so early on. The reason that's important for you all today is because the prayer we hear in today's gospel, the words that Simeon, the poem that Simeon composes on the spot for Mary, those are the church's bedtime prayers. Now, O Lord, you let your servant go in peace, for mine own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. See, if we live our days right, then not a day passes that we don't see the Lord. We see him, his cross twined in every tree, his thorns twisted up in every bush. We see his eyes in everyone we encounter, especially the poor and the suffering. We feel his caress in the hand and flesh of the one we love. We feel his sacred heartbeat when the ones we love best are pressed close to us in an embrace. We know the substance of his body and blood, of course, here at the Mass, but every time we take a meal together as family and friends. Not a day passes that we can't say at the end of it, mine eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people. And each one of us continues to need that light of revelation, which is why the church continues every year to bless the candles. It's not just to keep the candle makers in business, though obviously we made quite an investment this year. Here's the thing. When my mom died, we were there in the hospital room. You got a son as a priest, you kind of have an inside job, right? So I literally was able to do the last rites right there as she gave her last breath. But as soon as I was done, nobody knew what to do, except my sister, who knelt down at the foot of mom's bed and started those bedtime prayers, which we said every night as we went to bed. Someday, you will die, and very probably one of you will die before the other. I want you to consider what your prayer will be when finally you say goodbye to the one you love best. That is not meant to be morbid at a wedding. It's meant to be honest. Because if you're honest with yourselves about what you sign up for today, it's to die. Not just at the end of your life, but to die to yourself, at least a little bit, sometimes a lot bit, every single day. But if you're faithful, not perfect, not sinless, but if you're faithful, if you're honest, if you're consistent, and if you all are with them, especially you boys, then you won't have to die
when it comes time to die. You'll have already learned to do it. And you'll finally, finally be ready to live.